I want to read from 2 Timothy to set the stage for our study this morning. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, Paul said, I've fought a good fight, but the time of my departure now is at hand. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, but also for all those. A crown of righteousness which shall be given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, and not for me only, but also for all those who love his appearing. Friday night, my text was Galatians 2 and 20, where Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Lord Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians was written somewhere around AD 57. I don't know just how old Paul was then, but he still had several years to do the Lord's work. And he had his heart set to live his life in the flesh for the Lord Jesus. And that's what we must do. Set our hearts to live our lives in the flesh for the Lord Jesus. Now we come to near the end of Paul's life as I begin reading the text for this evening, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. Brethren, how are we living our lives? Will we be able to say this when we're facing death? Paul knew his time was about up. We won't know when the time is coming, for some of us know it can't be long. But let us set our hearts to follow the example of Paul. Just why could Paul say, henceforth there's laid up for me by the Lord Jesus Christ a crown of righteousness, and tell Timothy, and thus us, no, it wasn't written to us, but it has been written for, it was written for us. You can so live so there will be this same crown of life administered to you in the last day also. From generation to generation, let us all try to live so that we will have been the proper example for the generation that follows and the one that follows, so they too will make the choice that Paul made to live their life in the flesh for the Lord Jesus, who loved them and gave himself to die for them. In the lesson this morning, I want to notice a few things that enabled Paul to make this statement, I fought a good fight, and the crown of righteousness I'm about ready to claim. I have just a one-page PowerPoint for this, if I may have that now. I've fought a good fight. Why could Paul, or how could he make that statement? And let us remember the lessons for us when we see why Paul could make this statement. We will see also that if we imitate Paul in this, it will enable us to make that statement also. I suggest first, and I believe it logically and scripturally should be first, in the reasons that Paul stated that he could look forward to that crown that the Lord would give, was that Paul, Acts 23:1, had lived in good conscience before God until that day. Always had and always did, for that matter. When Paul thought he was right, he took it all the way. But when Paul found he was wrong, he could change. That many people can't do and won't do. Paul had to make a change to have that crown of righteousness. And Paul made that change. So this I suggest first, that Paul could change when he learned that he was wrong. All of us who are members of the Lord's body made that change also. But it's not a change that we made only when we were baptized into Christ. It's a change that we must make all through life. The fact is that the Christian's life is a life of making changes. That's the only way that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we're told to do. 2 Peter 3:16-18, I believe it is. You may say, well, preacher, have you made any changes? Through the course of my life, I've made many. And if I live another year or so, I probably will make some more. When we study and we grow, we learn more, and therefore we change to do what we've learned. And one cannot serve God and have this crown waiting for him unless he makes changes. When he learns he's been wrong, he makes changes so that he will be right with the Lord. The Apostle Paul had been if not the greatest, the most nearly to the greatest persecutor of what he refers to as the way of Jesus Christ and of his people. He thought he was right, and he did it with zeal so he could say, I profited in the Jews' religion above many of mine own equals. I believe that's Galatians 1:14. But here is this man who made havoc of the saints when they were scattered abroad by persecution. And this man who held the clothes and consented to clothes of those that stoned Stephen to death and gave his consent to the death. Now, the greatest persecutor of the way has become the greatest persecuted that we read about in the Bible, because he now himself walked that way. What a change. It's not too easy to make changes. It's a little difficult to get ourselves in condition where I can say, I've been wrong, I'm going to change. You're right. I pray God to forgive me, and I pray you to forgive me. But if we want to make the statement that Paul made, there is a crown of righteousness that the Lord's going to give me when my time is up on the earth. Brethren, we've got to make this claim, and we've got to live up to that claim. Next, I would like to point out that Paul could feel sorrow for sin. People can be sorry about having sinned for various reasons. One may have been caught and have to pay a penalty and be sorry for that reason. One may sin and be found out and lose influence with people and bring shame upon himself and be sorry that he sinned. But this wasn't Paul's sorrow. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, he writes of his sorrow. It was godly sorrow that worked repentance in Paul. Godly sorrow is sorrow that I sinned against God. There may be no penalty. It may not cause others to lose respect and care for you. But I sinned against God. That's what I'm sorry about. And while these other things that bring sorrow might be involved and also be so, the sorrow that Paul could feel for sin was, I sinned against my God. Paul looks back upon his past life. And in Acts 20 and 20, I believe it is, he bemoans the fact that when Christ's faithful martyr was killed, he held the clothes of those that stood by consenting to the death. In 1 Timothy 1, beginning with about verse 13, I thank Jesus Christ my Lord, who has counted me worthy, putting me into the ministry, who before was injurious and blasphemer, but I obtained mercy. He bemoaned the fact of his past life, even though he thought he was doing right when he was doing those things. He could feel sorrow for sin. He had that godly sorrow that works repentance. Next, I would point out that Paul was humble, yet he had self-respect. We have a story over in Acts chapter 16. Specifically, I'll be referring to some verses, then concluding with verse 37. Paul had cast a demon out of a young girl whom some men had been using because of the demon that was in her. She could perform certain things that they could use her for to make money for themselves. When they saw that their gain was made when Paul cast the demon out and this girl no longer could be used by them, they went to the authorities and had him thrown in prison. You'll remember that. He said to the keeper of the prison, when the prisoner was about to beat him, according to the command of the chief magistrates that had thrown Paul in prison, Paul says, is it lawful for you to whip or to beat a Roman citizen? The prisoner went to the prison keeper, went to the magistrates and told them what Paul had said, and that put fear in their hearts because it was against Roman law for them to beat a Roman citizen that had been uncondemned by the courts. In fact, they themselves were subject to persecution if they violated that law. So they wanted to get out of this. And so they sent the prison keeper back and told him to release Paul and tell him, now you can leave town, paraphrasing it. But Paul wouldn't leave town, and this is what I've been building up to. He said, not so. They've condemned us unjustly. Let them come themselves and bring us out. What if Paul had just walked out of prison and sneaked out of Philippi? Many people would have known about the young damsel and Paul casting the demon out. Many people would have known about Paul being thrown in prison. And now then, he's free, so he's sneaking out like he was guilty and is glad to escape the punishment. Paul said, it's not going to be. You have them bring us out. That's tantamount to them coming and apologizing to Paul. That vindicated Paul, but knowing Paul, I think I'm sure that that wasn't the main thing in Paul's mind. That vindicated the gospel that Paul had been preaching, and that's the reason that Paul did what he did. He was a very humble man, but he had self-respect, too much so to let them just throw him out without virtually making an apology for having imprisoned him. And certainly, so that the people around about knew about this situation, would know that he had been imprisoned not only wrongly, but because of his service to God and what he had done as a servant of God. We must also be humble and have self-respect and gospel respect if we can make this statement. Likewise, you younger, be subject to the elder. God gives grace to the humble. I want to have respect of people around about me. Foremost, I would like to have respect anyway, but foremost, for the same reason Paul did, because I want my life to be so that it will show my God respect. So we must be humble before God. God exalts the humble. So Paul could change when he learned he was wrong. He could feel sorrow for sin, and he was humble yet had self-respect. These are three things that enabled Paul to make that statement, that Jesus has a crown waiting for me. There are three things that will cause Jesus to have a crown waiting for us also. But I have a few more things to mention. But I wanted to make that point. The next point is that he was able to compare values and choose the greater. Here was Saul of Tarsus. He had been reared a Pharisee among Pharisees and had profited in the Jews' religion above many of his own equals. I think there is pretty good evidence that he had arisen so high among the Pharisees that he was very likely a member of the Sanhedrin. He certainly had influence. He had such influence with the Hamogaz that he could tell them, "I want to go to Damascus and imprison and bring them back for you to punish." And they readily granted him that. They listened to Paul. I know Paul was doing what they wanted, but Paul took the lead in that. So here was this man that had arisen to a very high position, at least, with very great influence among the Pharisees, that now then was ready to give all of that up to serve Christ. Paul stated that he had persecuted the way, but he said, "I gave all of the blessings from a physical standpoint, an earthly standpoint, up that I might win Christ." He looked at what he had been and all the glory and grandeur that he could enjoy, and then he looked at what he would have if he gave all that up, that he might be saved by faith in Christ and even become a fellowship of Christ's sufferings, even unto death. That reminds me also of another man in the Bible, Moses. By faith, when Moses came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, having respect unto the recompense of reward. Moses, reared as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, with prestige, power, wealth, may even become the next king. We don't know, but that's a possibility. But he gave much up to suffer affliction with God's people because he had respect for the recompense of the reward. Look what Paul gave up when he compared values in order to serve the Lord. Look what Moses gave up. And in this, we may be must be followers also, brethren. We must be able to compare values that the world offers with the values that Christ offers. Most people in the world who compare those values go with the world. It may be the religious world, but they go with the world anyway. Most people do. And I know that's so because Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, and there is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the gate that leads to death, and many go in thereat." But we must be among those that make the right choice, compare values, and choose the greater. Then we have the next point. Paul was great because he never looked back. I'm looking to Philippians chapter 3 now. and begin with verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to try to be saved in the end by what I did before. I want to live right in the future, but I'm not going to count on that right now. What counts is, he could say, I am pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Ernest Tubb had a song many years ago, Tomorrow Never Comes. You may be familiar with that. It doesn't. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow never gets here. Paul wasn't trying to be justified by how he had lived. He wasn't trying to be justified by how he was going to live. He was just trying to be justified and was justified by how he was living in the present. And after all, living in the present is the only time we do live. Paul never looked back. I have heard a preacher or two say, when he got up, not nearly as old as I am, that I have fought the battle and I've borne the scars, but I'm going now to leave the battle to younger men and let them fight the fight. Can you imagine Paul saying that? He said, I'm fighting the fight today and I'm going to fight the fight in the future. He said that I fight not as one beating the air. Paul wasn't a shadow boxer. He knew who his enemy was that he was fighting, and he wasn't beating the air. He leveled his blow at the enemy, the devil and all of his servants, not to the persons, but to their lives and their sin. Then in the next verse, 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, I buffet my body and bring into subjection, lest if by any means I myself should be rejected. I have to do that now. Can't say I'm justified because I did it yesterday, and I'm looking forward to doing it tomorrow, but he said, I'm doing it now. To keep from being rejected, some translations say cast away. Paul knew that he had to, in the present, fight the fight and run the race. So Paul never looked back. He lived today for today, and he served God today. He didn't know if he'd have another day or not, so he's going to do it today. And if we make this statement, and it's true that God or Christ does have a crown laid up for us, we'll do it today too. Only time we have to do it is today. Then the next thing that I want to notice is that Paul had a purpose in life. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed to him against that great day. reference back to Friday night's sermon. He didn't say, I know that I have believed in Jesus. He said, I know that I have believed Jesus. I have a purpose in life. And that purpose we read about in Philippians chapter 3 was to press on so he could receive the mark of the prize of high calling, Jesus Christ. And I would like to suggest, brethren, that Paul there stated the rule of Jesus Christ's judgment when we all face him, how we've been pressing on. And the day will not come when we have the ability physically and mentally to press on if we don't use it and press on. One may have obeyed the gospel yesterday or day before. We had an announcement up there of one that's just obeyed the gospel. Having obeyed the Lord and been forgiven of sins, if that one died now, being baptized just last week or yesterday or whenever it was, no matter how that one had lived before, if he is found, or he, whoever it was, pressing on, she'll have that crown. One may have been serving the Lord 70 years faithfully and stop serving the Lord and stop living for him and look to the beggarly elements of the world and die in that state, and he will not hear Jesus Christ say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou the joys of thy Lord. I'm going to be judged, and you're going to be judged how we are found pressing on. Do you know when you're going to die? Of course not. Then every moment, brethren, we'd better be pressing on, because that might be the moment that we die. And that's the rule of Christ's judgment. Pressing on. The last or the final point of this study is that Paul had faith in the outcome. I am ready now to be offered. And he had confidence. Didn't say, I hope. He did, but he didn't word it that way. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let each ask yourselves, if I died today, and something happened to where I knew life was imminent, that I was facing death pretty soon anyway, could I make that statement? I've fought a good fight. I've finished the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me by the Lord Jesus a crown of righteousness. If you have doubts about that, you need to make some changes in your life. That's true whether you are a baptized believer in the past or whether you have never been baptized for Christ. If we're going to have faith in the outcome, like Paul had faith in the outcome, we had better be pressing on now, today. In conclusion, I want to just briefly go over these things. when Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but Christ Jesus lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to die for me. When he said that I'm ready for that crown which the Lord's going to give me, why could he make that statement? I know you could think of other specific things than what we have today. But I submit for your thinking, if we live a life to where we can make changes when we learn we're wrong and make those changes for the better, because we feel sorrow for sinning against God and humble enough and have enough self-respect and God respect to compare the values of a life that is disapproved of Christ for a life that is approved of Christ, and have Paul's disposition, I'm not going to depend on what I did in the past, and I'm not going to look back. I'm going to press on right now. And then we feel this purpose in our life until the day we die. We have a right to have faith in the outcome. And the glory of it is that outcome will be received because that crown of righteousness wasn't laid up just for Paul, but for all that can say, I changed when I was wrong. I was sorry for sin. I had self-respect because I was humble, and God respect because I was humble. I compared the values. I chose the best. I never looked back but kept pressing on. I had this purpose in life, and therefore I have a right to have faith in the outcome. Look at those things on the screen. If though those things are true of you and of me, like they were of Paul, we can be like Paul was when he walked out under blue Italian skies to keep his death, to keep his date, I intended to say, with the headsman. Well, I know the Bible didn't tell about Paul being beheaded. Secular history says that he was, and it's probably so. But when Paul walked out to meet whatever kind of death the Roman government, because mainly of pressure put on them from the Judaizing teachers, was going to be put to death, we too can make the statement, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The Lord's prepared it, and he's ready to give it to me. If you can't make that statement, you need to make some changes in your life. Maybe you never obeyed the gospel. If upon studying his word, you've come to have a saving faith, you will repent today, and you will confess Christ as the Son of God to your salvation. And you will be baptized into his name for remission of sins. Oh, there's no power in water. You're exactly right. There's not. But there's power in the word of God. This is a repeat from Friday night. But this is a good place for that repeat. The one that rejects baptism because he sees no power in water, his problem's not baptism. His problem's faith. If he had faith like Paul did, he'd do what God said to do. And then like Romans 6 and the latter part of chapter 4 says, you will be raised from the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. And if you will do this, you will fulfill that walk, that new life walk. What a promise. If you've done that, but you have gone back into the world, you need to come back, yea, to be able to say this, you must come back to the Lord Jesus and beg Him with a penitent heart to forgive you and to reinstate your citizenship. In one of these two ways, or if any other way you need to respond to the invitation, please come as we sing.